trust yourself. And I know sometimes that's really hard for us as women, but our desires and our inner vision is so strong, and it's what drives us forward. And I think that was my biggest thing. I had no idea at the time why I was doing what I was doing. I really trusted myself to just quit my job and to leave.
Welcome to the Self-Starter Podcast, a place where stories are shared from women just like you, who left the colorless corporate world with an idea and a passion and ran with it to create the vibrant life they always wanted to live. My name is Megan Tobler, and every week I'll be bringing real women to you to share their entrepreneurial journey in hopes of inspiring you to take the very first step of your own. Sometimes the hardest part is just to start. So come on, start today for you, start today for her, and become a self-starter. Let's go. Today we are joined by Jess Swartz, who shares her inspiring journey of leaving corporate America to prioritize motherhood over her career. Putting her role as a mom first and career woman second, Jess dives into the various entrepreneurial ventures she embarked upon after stepping away from the traditional workforce. She details the process of discovering her current endeavor and offers valuable insights on effectively balancing the roles of a mom and an entrepreneur, sharing practical time management tips along the way. If you've ever found yourself wanting to redefine success, then this episode is for you. Jess, thank you so much for hopping on today and sharing your story on the Self-Starter Podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Of course. Now, you are someone that wears multiple hats. You are a wife, you're a mama to not only human babies, but fur babies as well. You are a homeschooling mama, and you're also an entrepreneur. There's so many different titles that we can give you, but if we were to break it down, like, how would you describe who you are as a person? Who is Jess, and really what you've created with your virtual assistant business?
Yeah, I'm a mom first. That's my biggest thing. That's why I became an entrepreneur. Homeschooling is very much a passion for me as of recent. But yeah, who is inside is just really a passionate person of service. I've noticed that I really love that. I love to volunteer. I love to serve. And just an all-around creative, like a person of service and creative, I feel like are the two biggest things to describe me. I love getting creative in all different avenues.
Yeah, I know that you said you're a mom first. So I think that before we even dive into the entrepreneurial journey, it's really important to highlight that you are a mom, and you decided that obviously it was important for you to be home with your children, but you wanted more in your life too, from a financial perspective. So diving into your virtual assistant business, like, when was it that you decided that you wanted to expand kind of your titles and add entrepreneur into the mix?
So it really started in 2018, even before a virtual assistant was a thing. My job at the time wasn't allowing me to stay home with my kids if they had strep throat or anything, and I was getting reprimanded. And so I was like, you know what? I don't know why, but I feel like I need to leave, and I feel like I need to do my own thing. I was exploring lots of creative avenues before I landed on earrings. And I mean, I was making wreaths, home decor, all different things, and then was turned into earrings. And that was where my passion landed. And I'm starting to revive that business as well. But then I took a break when we moved, and I wanted to be a coach, actually. And once I started learning how to be a coach and getting certified, it just wasn't landing very well inside. It wasn't feeling good. It was more of a burden, which I was really bummed about, because I wanted to coach people because of the impact the coaching had on me. And I would notice people would have questions. They'd post on their Instagram stories or something, and they'd be like, oh my gosh, I can't figure out how to do this. And I'd like impulsively go find out how to do it. And then all of a sudden the wheel started turning, and I'm like, I keep wanting to help the coaches. Like, I keep wanting to help them instead of being them. So I just kind of started to dive into what it would be to be a virtual assistant, and it sounded more resonant. And yeah, just the ball just started rolling after that.
Okay, you said so many amazing things in there. So I want to break it down into a couple different pieces. First of all, you said in 2018, the job that you had at the time wasn't allowing you to have the flexibility to really be a mom. So you decided that it was time to leave. What was the pivotal moment when you just said enough is enough, and I really have to get out for the betterment of my family?
You know, the funny thing is, the job that I was in, we were given like X amount of hours for sick time, and I wasn't even using all of that. But all of a sudden I was getting reprimanded every quarter for using a certain percentage of it. And that, like, even just gives me goosebumps right now, because it frustrates me, because you're told that you should go work in society and you should do a 9-to-5 and send your kids to school. But then when you do, you can't be there for them. And they'd asked me, do you have anybody else that can care for them when they're sick? And so all these things, I just was like, this is not right. It's not okay. Even the senior HR was very condescending towards me. And so I just said, you know what? I wrote up a resignation letter and I said, I'm done. This is not okay. It's not okay to treat people like this. It's not okay to treat moms like this. And so that was really my moment when I was going to get written up for staying home with my kids for having strep throat. That was not okay.
I feel for you. I recently have become pregnant. And since going through this experience, I had no idea the kind of discrepancies and the things that women face within the workplace when it comes to having a child and then raising a child, because I hate to say that it's not fair in the workplace. They want you to be extremely present, but they forget that you have outside responsibilities that, I'm sorry, they take precedent. And if you have all this sick time and they're not letting you use it, then what's the point of having the sick time in the first place? It doesn't make any sense. Anyways, I'm glad that you were able to get to that place where you just said, you know what? My children are way more important than fighting with the HR team about my leave. And you just decided to hand in that resignation letter and start making the earrings. So why did you decide to transition into earrings as the first avenue in your creative journey here?
Yeah. You know, I honestly can't even remember. I feel like a lot of this is just a pull. As women, we just kind of, we feel a lot. And I felt like this seemed interesting and I started doing it. And I was like, okay, this is fun. I can do so much. Like, you can buy only so many products, but you can make so much with them. And it also was just a creative outlet at first. It was just kind of fun. And then, you know, of course, as I think any entrepreneur avenue, you have all these other people doing similar work to you. So I had so many other artists that I knew making clay earrings. And, you know, it kind of felt like, oh, maybe I can't do this as a business. There's already people doing it. But then I started noticing that, like, everybody has their own creative thing. Nobody is making the same thing. And so that really excited me. I was like, I can do so much. I can bring so much of my creativity to people. And I have had people who just will wear the same pair of earrings every day. And it feels so good to have my creativity really honored by other people.
Yeah, I think you brought up a really good point. I think a lot of people don't pursue their passion and their idea because they think it's been done before. And I've said this before, but there's only one you out there. Yes, earrings have been made before. So it's not a new concept, but you haven't created it before. And people are drawn to you. They're drawn to the creativity that you're bringing to the table. And like you said, it truly is such a compliment when you see someone wearing that pair of earrings day after day. So that's amazing. But you also said something earlier that you had hired a coach. At what point in your journey did you decide that you wanted to hire a coach and why?
So I hired my coach like within the first month of starting the VA business. I was like, I know I need help. And I had experience with that because with my earring business, I didn't outsource at all. I didn't hire any sort of support system. I literally was going at it alone and constantly driving alone. And I know that's one of the reasons why my business didn't do as well as it could have and why it became more of a burden. And so when I did the VA business, I was like, you know what? I want to do this right. And I hired right away, no matter the logistics of like, okay, you haven't made any money, but you're going to shell out how much for a business coach? And it was like, no, because if I want this to work, I need some sort of support. I can't do this alone. And honestly, it's not as fun alone. And so once I did, of course, you know, there's been like roller coasters where some days you want to burn it to the ground and you're like, why did I hire someone? And then you get the support from that business coach and you're like, this is why. This is why. Because on the days that you want to burn it to the ground, they're there to help you get through that.
Absolutely. And I know you and I have actually been able to connect because we share the same business coach. And she is just such an incredible human, really there for you throughout all of the ups and the downs for the times where you really do want to burn it to the ground, but also the times too, as she says, like throw the confetti and really celebrate you because those moments are really everything. And I think especially as entrepreneurs, it can be a very lonely road. So to have someone that can link arms with you and to be able to help get you through the good times as well as the maybe not so good times, that really is everything. But I am curious because you said you had wanted to go into coaching, but you thought that being a VA might be a better route for you to go down. So at what point did you decide that maybe coaching wasn't the outlet that you wanted to explore, but a VA was more suited to what you had in mind?
Yeah, it was really when I started practicing with other coaches. So like we had opportunities to practice with each other and they'd be small little scripts. They wouldn't even be the whole coaching call. And it was okay, but I just wasn't feeling it. And like every time I got on the meeting with them, it just felt like, honestly, just like a burden. It was a pain. And so I went through the process thinking, okay, it's just going to get better. And it didn't. And I tried launching a coaching business, but I wasn't putting any effort into it. I had no passion or drive. And so it took, you know, a little bit of time off. I was just like, okay, back to the earrings. And then it was probably a good year or so after when the wheels started turning, when I started noticing people when they needed help that I like to do that. And then I had a really great opportunity where a VA friend who also has a VA agency needed a VA. And at the time we were just talking about VA stuff and I was picking her brain, like, what kind of things do you do? And she one day was just like, I have an idea. Let's set up a call. And then that became my first client. I ended up helping her on the back end to help build her business. And it was really a great opportunity because on one hand, I got to learn from someone who's really good at it. And it was also my first client. So it really built my confidence and I really enjoyed it. And I got great feedback from her during the time that we worked together. And I was like, I think I want to do this. And so then shortly after, like a month or two after our contract ended, I was like, I'm going to launch as a full-time VA.
That's amazing. So for people that aren't aware of what a VA does, let's definitely break it down. Like what kind of services do you offer as a virtual assistant?
Right now, as I start out and discover like what kind of things I'm passionate about, I do an hourly package. So basically, like if you want to hire me for 10 hours a month, like free up 10 hours of your time in your business, I could do anything from monitoring the email inbox. One thing I'm doing right now is researching for external marketing ideas for someone so that they can get in front of different audiences. It could be setting up your newsletter, managing that, setting up your entire client management system. You know, it's really just a lot of general admin things. There's a lot of different tasks under that umbrella right now. And so as I'm going through that and working these things, I'm starting to discover there's been three so far that have been passions that I'm working on packages for. So one of them is setting up a CRM system. And so just setting up Sato or HoneyBook or whatever it is. So having those automated emails that are going to go out to your clients, things like that, I absolutely love. It's so fun. And then podcast management. I did a little bit of that before and I really liked it. It was fun, I think, because it has that standard operating procedure of launching and finding guests. And so I really like podcast management. And then my third thing is just client management. I think it's fun to be on that back end and make sure that like automated emails are going out. Like it brings me so much satisfaction just to do that and being there for customer service or whatever it is they might need for their coaching clients.
And it's interesting. I recently was a part of a week-long mastermind. And one of the topics that we were talking about was actually making the first hire in your business. And the first one that they talked about was hiring a virtual assistant. And it's because as an entrepreneur, you only have so many hours in the day. So to be able to hire someone like yourself that can take a little bit of the workload off to allow them to focus on the tasks that really are going to move the needle forward in their business is really instrumental to be able to help someone maybe go from starting as like a little side hustle hobby of a business to a thriving business that's sustainable year after year. And with that, so if a lot of the people that are listening to the podcast are looking to start their business. So as they are preparing for this launch of theirs, how can they really prepare and get everything in order to be able to make sure that when they come to you, that they really have kind of the knowledge about really where they need help with in their business?
Yeah, that's actually one thing that my business coach and I've talked about is, you know, creating a freebie within your business. And one I'm still working on is just mapping out, like, what does your day look like? And just logging everything and being like, okay, I had to send this many emails or whatever, and really getting clear on which things you are being drained by, which things you are being lit up by. And those things that are draining you are likely something you can outsource to a VA. And so getting clear on what kind of things you want to outsource is the biggest thing, because we have no guidance without your guidance as our client. And so that would be the first thing. The second thing would be just having some basic standard operating procedures. So like a list of things that maybe you check your email every morning at 8 a.m., Monday through Friday, or maybe you have a certain process that you go through once you hire a client you want your VA to take care of. So having those standard operating procedures is really going to help, because if you don't have those kind of things, you're going to be just lost. And then it's going to feel like, why did I hire this person? I don't know exactly what I want them to do. I don't know how I want them to do it. And so having those things clear makes it go seamlessly. It makes less communication between you and the VA, which frees up more of your time. So yeah, I really feel like those two things can get you started.
Those are amazing, amazing tips right there. Just like exactly what you said, you can only do so much. You do need the guidance from the individual to be able to really understand, what is the priority? What am I focusing on? How am I going to help move your business forward? And that's where I think that as the entrepreneurs that are hiring, you really need to get that clarity. I think that freebie is an awesome idea. So absolutely move forward with that. I think I could use that in my own business. So now you had mentioned a little bit about kind of like challenges and things that other people are facing, but obviously you've been going through entrepreneurship now for a couple of years. So what would you say are some of like the common challenges that you have personally faced, especially as you are also juggling motherhood and homeschooling with all of this?
Yeah, it's really just learning how to balance everything. Like when you do wear multiple hats, you can imagine like there's only so many hours in a day. How can you do that? And so learning that I can't just sit there and work on the VA business every single day for a whole bunch of time. Like I have to create some sort of structure, maybe do an hour a day. Same with earrings, you know, balance that out to an hour a day. That's really been my biggest thing, is finding a balance to all of this and making sure also where my priorities are. So if I need to homeschool the girls that day, then it's like, where can I? A lot of times, honestly, they're really good on their own. They're at that age where they do a lot on their own. So it's like, okay, can I balance getting earrings created during that time or virtual assistant work during that time? And learning that balance of how to do it without getting burnt out and just filling all of my hours of my day with just craziness. I like to have some white space in there for some pleasure and some things that I like to do. And so I'd say that's one of the biggest challenges. You know, it's when you start to feel that burnout, you're just like, okay, something needs to be adjusted. And so recognizing that burnout and pivoting to where you need to go. And then also just, I think society has created this kind of pressure that we've kind of grew up on where we just need to keep going and going. So like, with entrepreneurship, it feels like, okay, you put your foot on the pedal and you're going. And it's almost like you have to just keep accelerating and going and going and going. And it's like, you have no time to do anything else. And that has been my biggest obstacle the last few months, where I feel like I have to keep moving forward rather than pivoting and being like, no, I need to slow down a little bit here. That's okay. It's okay to come to a complete stop sometimes or go a different direction. So really reminding myself every day that I don't have to just keep going full speed. I can always take little breaks. That's been a big one lately.
I think that's a huge key takeaway here. I do believe that people think when you are becoming an entrepreneur that you have to have your foot on the gas pedal 24/7, that if you let go, mm-hmm. that your business is going to fail. But I think a lot of people get into entrepreneurship for all of the reasons that you listed, to be able to be home with your children, to be able to give yourself the white space in your day to do the things that you love, to be able to just prioritize the things that are important to you. And obviously you have gone through the ups and the downs of really understanding what you want your days to look like and really gone through all of the ups and downs of just entrepreneurship. Like you were talking about earlier about sometimes wanting the business to just crash and burn just because it's a little bit too much because you got mm-hmm. to that burnout place. But something that I realized is something that you just said is really giving yourself the opportunity to have some grace, recognizing when it is that you need to slow down, when it is that you need to push forward, and listening to that inner voice and like really what your body is telling you. I think that's really the key to success is listening. Mm-hmm. So yes. I guess on the topic of being able to balance everything, manage your time, and focus on your key priorities, are there any certain strategies that you put into place to be able to make sure that your days are really balanced?
I'm definitely still working on that one. That one's a work in progress. But so far, what my coach and I have done is really just time blocking. For me, it's easy to just see on the calendar every day I have this hour blocked off because our schedules are so all over the place. You know, we have homeschool events here and there in doctor's appointments or whatever we have going on scheduled. It could be any time of the day. So it's not realistic for me to say every day at 8 a.m. I do this. But it's also not realistic to be like, okay, I have to do this for an hour, but not actually have it structured. So for me, time blocking has been like the biggest thing. Blocking out the time for earrings, blocking out the time for VA work, and making that a priority. And so far, that's been going pretty well. I think we're hitting a spot where I'm starting to feel like that's how I'm going to balance my time and make sure that I stay on task.
And so because your days look so different on a day-to-day basis, when do you come into your week and actually map out what the days are going to look like?
So ClickUp is one of my favorites, and I love that for keeping me on task. And so every week I just have it scheduled that on Sundays, I'm going to block off my time. And Sundays I'll decide, and I just go through my calendar. And I really get realistic and intentional too, because I used to just block it off and be like, this will be great. Now I'm like, okay, that's too early in the day. I don't want to do anything. Or I usually get really tired around this time after lunch. I don't want to do anything then. And so really just being like, when do I want to work? When do I want to create earrings? Or when do I want to sit in front of a computer? Like just getting intentional about when to do it has been a really big learning curve for me. But one of the best things about being a woman is I feel like we have this really great intuition. And so I've really been trusting that. And, you know, I like to do VA work right at 8 a.m. And that feels good. The girls are still waking up. They don't need me as much. I can just knock a lot out. So just listening to that intuition and being like, this is a good time, and trusting that inner wisdom when blocking that time.
Yeah, no, I think blocking the time is critical just to be able to make sure that you get all the tasks that are necessary done throughout the entire week. I know that's something that I'm currently working on, is making sure that I put together a tasks list. But something that I do want to go back to is the topic of the VA work and obviously making sure that you're creating time for this. So part of the VA work, I mean, the clients just don't automatically come to you. You actually have to go out and acquire them. So how are you acquiring these new clients to your VA business?
Actually, to be honest with you, I feel like I've had it easy so far. And it's funny because I say that I think more from like almost like a masculine side of things, where it's like I haven't had to do a lot of marketing. But a lot of these clients have come to me because we've done coaching programs together, or I've done inner work on myself alongside them. And so realistically, that is a lot, because then I feel like that person who's always constantly striving for that growth is the person who is attracting these coaches and healers, because they see I am doing that work. I'm going to be definitely taking personal responsibility for myself, not being in the victim, like really doing a lot of inner work on myself in order to show up the best that I can. And I think that attracts the people that I want because of what I do for myself. And so far, clients that I've had, or potential clients who have said, you know, eventually I want to hire, but I don't know right now, they've all been people I know from coaching programs or other coaches that maybe we follow each other on Instagram or have met once or something. And so I guess if I summed it up to one thing, it's just really always growing as myself and always just showing up authentically. And that I think is the biggest reward, other than any marketing tool, is knowing that you're magnetizing people because you're being so real and authentic.
It sounds like you've had the opportunity to join communities and different programs where you're able to just to be Jess, to put yourself out there. And the people that when they have a need, then they think of you as the first person that they're going to call. But you had mentioned coaches and healers. So I think it's really important to actually dive into the niche that you have selected. So why did you choose to really focus on working with coaches and healers?
A lot of it goes back to that wanting to be a coach part, wanting to be a coach and not working out. You know, before that, or the reason that I went into that is because I had such a great impact being coached. I loved being coached. One of my biggest things is I love being called out. I love putting myself on the hot seat to be coached in front of, you know, 50 women. And I just knew the impact that coaches and healers have from firsthand experience. And so, you know, like I said, I'd went into coaching wanting to do that. And then I was really bummed out. I was like, this sucks. Like this wasn't, I didn't think this was going to happen. I thought I was going to, you know, just soar and start coaching and love making the impact on people's lives. And so I really had to get clear after that, where it was like, well, what now? If I'm not going to coach, what am I going to do? And once the gear started turning on being a VA, it just kind of made sense. It honestly just clicked. I was like, these are the people I want to serve, because if I can't actually do what they're doing, there's things I can do to help improve their work and get them in front of more people. Because if they have their time freed up or their systems running smoothly, then they're able to reach more people. And they're also able to show up more passionately. And so that for me lights me up, and that creates my passion for my work for them. Because then, you know, they can show if they're not burnt out, because that's the biggest thing. They're going to get burnt out doing all these things. And if they're not burnt out, they can show up and make more impact in their work. And so for me, it was just like almost creating kind of a ripple effect from the back end. And that felt sufficient for me. That felt like my contribution to this world.
And it's interesting because earlier in this podcast, you had mentioned that it's okay to pivot. And you clearly had an interest in the coaching business, but you then decided that, you know what, this really isn't for me. But there were aspects of the coaching business that you really enjoyed, such as setting up the processes and the systems on the back end that were allowing you to still have some of the ties to the coaching programs, but not actually having to coach the people themselves. So I think that's really a really great key takeaway for the listeners today, is to be able to understand that just because you realize something doesn't end up lighting you up like you thought it would, there might still be a way to still work in that realm that isn't initially what you thought it was going to be in the first place. So I think that's great that you were able to recognize that pretty early on and find another way to really maximize your business here and continue working in a niche that really kind of lit your soul on fire.
Totally.
And then, so you work with these coaches and healers, and I know you have three different packages currently that people can select from. So you have a getting started, you have a ready for more, and you also have another package, which is your most robust package where you handle all the things. So how do you determine with your clients, like what's the right package for them to really kick things off for when you're beginning your services together?
So in my questionnaire ahead of time, before we set up a connection call, I always encourage people to write down the things that they don't really enjoy or that doesn't light them up. So maybe they're always getting on their computer to set up a new client process and they like hate it, they dread it, and it's just a burden for them. I encourage them to write these things down, and then they come up with this list, and hopefully they have the list at the call or we figure it out on the call. And what my sort of method, I guess, is just kind of feel into it. So if they're like, I don't know what I need, but I know I need someone, it's like, maybe we start at 5 hours. It sounds like you don't need a whole lot. Now, if there's someone who's like, I have a ton of clients, like I'm overwhelmed, you might need a bigger package because you've got a lot going on, a lot of clients to handle. So it's really just feeling out that person on like, what is it that they're not enjoying? What is their client base? Like, how many do they have? And then just kind of feeling them out. I always like to err on the side of the lower end, especially at first, because a lot of times it takes people a while, especially if it's their first hire, to figure out how to use that VA. And so like I can encourage lots of things and say, these are things I can do for what you're talking about. But for them to actually delegate, it takes some time. So like I always make sure and err on the side of a smaller side because I don't want them regretting spending a whole bunch of money that they don't even use. So yeah, that's kind of how our process goes.
Sounds like you take a very consultative approach to your business.
Yeah, I do. And that's actually funny you say that because my coach and I have been talking about that because I noticed that with my clients, it's almost like I don't notice it. It's an impulse to consult them as well. And so that's one thing I'm playing on too, is like offering maybe an OBM role as well and working on that. But I do, I notice that I do a lot of that. And I think the impulsivity is coming from, and what I mean by impulsivity is just like automatically doing it, not like necessarily being like, this is part of our package. It just kind of comes out and it's not part of our package. And so that impulsivity, though, I think is coming from a fire to help people to like, okay, I know how to do this and I know really great ideas. Like, I would love to share them with you. And so, yeah, that's another avenue that we've been talking about, is potentially adding that on there as well.
Well, it really sounds like the coaching that you originally sought out to do is actually coming out in this VA business because you're coaching them on how to hire you. And I think that is huge because let's say it's myself. Let's say I'm looking to hire you. I don't have anyone on staff. So I've never made a hire before in my own personal business. So for you to be able to come in here and really have that consultative experience and really break it down for me. What does your day look like? What isn't filling you up? What's draining you? What tasks can I take away? And let's start small and we'll build together as we figure this out together. And I think that's a really great way to approach this because like you said, it's not taking on too much for someone that's never done this before, but then you can grow with them as their business grows.
Yeah. And I think you brought up a really good point that I almost forgot about, is bringing that coaching education piece into the VA piece. So like, for example, I just don't like showing up and just being like, okay, what do you need? And great, this is done. Like, I don't like that transactional. So one thing that I noticed myself doing is sending acknowledgements, being like, oh my gosh, you launched this. That's so exciting. And just acknowledging my clients. That's one of the things I've learned that in coaching was so impactful for me. And I like to bring, because if my client feels good with me running their business and they notice that I'm very present within it, I think that helps our relationship so much. So I really like to actually bring some of that into it, where I can sort of create a different experience, a unique experience, and make it a little less transactional between us.
Absolutely. And I know you mentioned earlier that your business, you haven't had to do a ton of marketing, and you are really delighting your customers. You're giving them these like transformative experiences with you and really giving them that peace of mind behind the scenes. You are doing everything that you need to be doing to really help them grow their business. So they're having these amazing experiences. And then these people talk, because entrepreneurs tend to hang out with entrepreneurs. So this is just the marketing strategy that you might not have thought about from a strategic perspective, but that's what keeps the ball rolling here.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah, it's absolutely amazing what you've been doing. Now, if someone is at the stage in their business where they are really overwhelmed and looking to make that first hire and seeking out a virtual assistant, where could they go to find a little bit more about what you're doing and the services that you offer?
Yeah. My biggest resource is going to be my website, which is jessswartz.com, JessSWartz.com. And that's going to have a lot of the information. It's going to talk about my passion, about me, which I think is honestly the biggest thing that a lot of people forget about, is like getting to know the person. Because if they're not really someone you would jive with, you probably won't jive with them as a subcontractor. So really checking that out, and also just looking at the services, because right now I'm just doing that umbrella of general administration services. So it has a list on there, which can, I think, help someone who doesn't know where to start to actually really get the wheels turning in their own brain. Like, oh gosh, I didn't even think about that. I do not like doing that. And they can start listing things. And honestly, just setting up a connection call is the biggest thing. I don't have an obligation for you to buy from me with a connection call. I just want to find out, what do you need and can I help? Because sometimes there's going to be people who the tasks they have aren't really for me. Like, for example, social media management, that's one I don't do. And so for me to be like, you know what, I hear you and it sounds like you really need help in this, and I really know someone else. So I think that's the biggest thing, is a lot of people think connection calls are like pressure to buy, but it's not. It's just me helping you figure out, where do you need to go? So I think that's really the biggest thing. And then of course, my Instagram, jess.swartz, that is a great place to connect with me. I'm on there more than my website, and my email, and also a great place to get to know me personally. I share personal experiences on there, which I think can also help get their mind going on what they need help with, because they can see, oh, she's done this with someone. I never even thought about that. I really need help there. So I think those are the two really great places.
And I'll make sure that everything goes in the show notes. And to talk about you on a personal level, I do follow you on Instagram, and you are so much more than just a virtual assistant. Obviously, we talked about you being a mama. You share a lot about your girls, you share about homeschooling, but you also have a really big passion for dog rescuing. And I think that's like a really great little aspect about your life that you're sharing with you, because you're just sharing the human aspect. You're not just a businesswoman. You're just this well-rounded human that just is doing so much good in this world. So definitely go to her website, book a connection call, and just have a conversation, because as we determined today, your style is very consultative. And like you said, if it's not the right fit for you, you have a plethora of other people that you can put them in touch with to be able to really help take their business to the next level. But Jess, there's something that I do want to touch on before we sign off today. Before we end every interview, I always like to ask, I mean, obviously you've gone through this incredible entrepreneurial journey and you've had a lot of lessons and learnings along the way. So if you were to really think back on all the lessons that you have acquired throughout the years, and you were to share that with someone else that's just getting started, what would you tell that person?
My easy answer is trust yourself. And I know sometimes that's really hard for us as women, but our desires and our inner vision is so strong, and it's what drives us forward. And I think that was my biggest thing. I had no idea at the time why I was doing what I was doing. I really trusted myself to just quit my job and to leave, cash out some of my 401k. Like, none of it made sense logistically. But I was like, I have this feeling inside, this desire. And so trusting that, I think, is the biggest thing. And especially as women, women have such great intuition, and their desires will never make sense on paper. They will never make sense in the masculine area of things, but they do make sense, because even though you don't know in that moment, you will find out why. And so just trusting yourself and trusting that fire that's lighting up inside of you and following it.
Such great advice. I'm working on trusting myself as we speak. So thank you so much for sharing such wisdom today in this conversation. I'm really looking forward to sharing this with the audience and really help bringing some business your way, Jess.
Yeah, thank you.
Personally, I resonate with Jess's story so much because now that I'm a mom, that comes first. But being a mom doesn't have to be your only identity, and Jess shows us that that's possible. However, jumping into a life of entrepreneurism while also juggling motherhood takes balance and excellent time management. Jess's pro tip for us: take a look at your calendar and children's activities every Sunday and block the week ahead. And if you want to take it a step further, considering hiring a virtual assistant just like Jess. All right, self-starter, are you ready to start blocking off time for your future? Thanks for listening to today's episode of the Self-Starter Podcast. If you like what you heard, be sure to like and subscribe to stay up to date on the latest content. Want even more? Be sure to head to selfstarter.com. And remember, start today for you, start today for her, and become a self-starter. See you next time.